unto him who has loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests. Unto him be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. God's word for our sermon today is based on the gospel, Luke chapter 11, verses 14 to 26. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, "By Beelzebul, the priest of demons, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebul. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. And then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first." This is God's word. Please be seated. My dear fellow believers in Jesus Christ, our precious Savior and the Lord of our daily lives, you hear people say it all the time. God's in control of the world, right? God's running the nations of this earth. Everything in life happens for a purpose, and God is in charge of it all. You have probably heard this said about a lot of things in life. Maybe you've even said it yourself, especially over the past 3 years during this COVID pandemic we just got done with. But quite frankly, my first reaction when hearing that is very often, "Really? God's in charge? Doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like God's in control. Look at all the evil in the world. Look at Russia's Putin and all the war crimes that he's committing. Look at all the lies that people in power pronounce, even here in our own country. Huh? Look at all the things that go wrong in our world. What about Satan? What about the devil, huh? What about evil and sin? How can God be in control when there's so much going wrong in the world?" Let's be honest here. Often in life, it looks more like Satan and evil are in charge than God is. The existence of evil has been a real stumbling block to mankind for thousands of years. In fact, the existence of evil has tripped many people up in their relationship with God since Adam and Eve fell into sin. For you see, our logic tells us that if God is both loving and all-powerful at the same time,
He wouldn't allow evil to exist. For you see, our logic tells us that the existence of evil in this world means that either God is not all-powerful and cannot stop the evil, or that God is not loving because he doesn't care what evil is done and he refuses to stop it. And either view of God is not worthy of him. Now, this gets intensely personal. Because the source of all evil in this world is intensely personal. It is Satan, also called the devil, called Beelzebul in our text, and all of the evil angels who followed him in their rebellion against God at the beginning of time. And so our sermon theme for today is really a question about Satan. A question about evil. A question about how Satan and evil relate with us human beings, about how Satan and evil relate with God. Yes, our question for our sermon theme today is this: how strong is Satan? In our scripture text for today, Jesus is driving out a demon from a man who was mute, a demon who kept that man from talking. The evangelist Matthew tells us that the man was also blind. This man was physically possessed by this demon. That is, the demon actually took over the man's body. That happened a lot in Jesus' ministry. For when Jesus appeared on the scene, Satan and all of his cohorts rose up to oppose God. Satan and all of his evil angels just love to attack God's creation. Anything good in this world, anything beautiful, anything reflecting God's glory, oh, Satan loves to dirty it up, to pollute it, to destroy it, and to corrupt it. Whether it's the environment, or noble institutions like marriage and governments, or the blessings of God like sex and family and food and drink, or our human bodies, our health. Oh, Satan loves to afflict people physically, spiritually, psychologically, and emotionally. Satan and all the evil angels, they are destroyers and they are troublemakers. How strong is Satan? Oh, he's really strong, all right. And he's not afraid to show it. Satan is really a big bully. And he loves to throw his weight around. Look at what he's done over the centuries, beginning with Adam and Eve and their fall into sin. The poet, the writer John Milton, in his famous epic poem, Paradise Lost, describes the result of Satan's work this way. He says, "Of man's first disobedience and the fruit of that forbidden tree whose mortal taste brought death into this world and all of our woe." Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones once paraphrased Satan quite correctly in one of his songs when he sang this: "Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. Oh, what's puzzling you? That's the nature of my game." See, Satan is the instigator of wars and bloodshed. He's behind people like Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. He was behind those people who flew those airplanes into the trade towers of New York on 9/11. Satan loves to incite riots, as he did after the George Floyd incident in the summer of 2020. He's out to cause people to rob stores and commit murders. He's behind those who pervert our educational system in order to teach young people that they can somehow change their genders. He drives drug dealers to sell drugs and to kill those who get in their way. This is all Satan's agenda. But even more frightening when it comes to Satan, take a look at yourself, as I need to take a look at myself. Because you see, the devil's worship is in our hearts too. That's his house. That's where he lives, to use the terminology that Jesus uses in our scripture text for today. The heart, that's Satan's home. The human heart of all mankind. For you see, the Bible tells us that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know them, Jeremiah writes. Jesus says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Satan wants nothing more than for us to focus our attention on everything evil that he does out there in the world, when the real problem is his powerful influence that he wields right here in our own hearts, in our thinking, in our wills. As Pogo once said in his cartoon strip, we have met the enemy, and they are us. So if you really want to see where Satan works the hardest in the world, just look into the mirror. How strong is Satan? How strong is he in your life? You see, he would love it if he would just sugarcoat his power over you and cause you to downplay how much influence he has in your life. When the Jews in our text accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub, that other name for Satan, Jesus showed that Satan is not divided against himself. He can't be. That's how powerful he is. He rules in a coordinated way with all the resources that he can marshal against us. And that includes all the sin in our hearts. Satan will spare no resources to kill us. Jesus told Peter right before his denial that first Maundy Thursday evening, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. And so Satan plays on our weaknesses. What's yours? Is it pride? Is it jealousy? Is it a big mouth? Is it sexual lust? Is it doubt and despair? Is it dissatisfaction with your lot in life? Is it rebellion and defiance? Be honest with yourself. What are your weaknesses? Satan knows them, and he knows them well. So we'd better get to know them ourselves well too, huh? For Satan will use them to his advantage to attack us. And then added to that is the perversion of our culture around us, the environment of this world in which we inhabit. See, we are the products of the age that we live in. And Satan knows how to play off of that, huh? And so he tells us, as our world tells us today, trust yourself. Every heart vibrates to that iron string. Have faith in yourself. You can do it. Huh? And by telling us that, he pulls us away from our God. Or he tells us, as our world does today, you are the captain of your ship, and you are the master of your fate. And by telling us that, he leads us to disobedience of God's word. Or he tells us, as our world does today, you deserve to be happy. Why? You deserve to get rewarded in life. Why? You deserve a break today, huh? And by telling us that, he undermines the heart of our God, which is the heart of giving, a heart of grace in the gospel. Yeah, the devil knows how to use culture to attack us. And above all else, Satan is strong to attack human beings by keeping them away from God's word. And so he supplies godless questions for people to ask, such as, go to church every week? Well, why do that? Oh, you can do religion on your own. Or, read the Bible daily? Meditate on the gospel? Pray to God? What's the use, right? God doesn't listen, plus you're too busy to do that. Or get involved with Bible study, discuss God's word with your fellow Christians, build each other up in that word of God. Oh, I studied all that when I was confirmed years ago, and I know what the Bible says. You see, Satan is strong, and he never gives up on us, never. At the end of our text, Jesus tells about a man who's had his heart cleaned by the gospel. But then he allows Satan to come back. And he brings with him all of his friends. And when all of his buddies come along with him, now it's worse than it was before. It happens all the time to Christians still today. They fall in love with Jesus. But then they fall out of love with Jesus. They fall away and they give themselves over to evil. And the more they sin, the more they sin. And the more they can sin, and the farther away from Jesus they go. You see, we simply can't play footsie with the devil. He'll always win if we go at our faith that way. How strong is Satan? Oh. Very strong. Stronger than we are. Stronger than you and stronger than me. Stronger than any Christian here on the face of the earth. But our Jesus reveals to us today how Satan is defeated. And so we don't need to despair. We don't need to think that it's inevitable that Satan eventually will conquer us. It is just the opposite. We can be absolutely certain that we are going to defeat Satan, absolutely certain that we will win. And Jesus shows how in the key verses in our scripture text today, verses 21 and 22, when we read, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. How strong is Satan? Jesus is stronger. We don't defeat the devil by minimizing his power, but by maximizing the power of Jesus. When I was a missionary in Africa, we didn't downplay the power of Satan. We didn't downplay the power of the witch doctors and the power of the demonic forces that were at work in the people in the villages where we served. We simply declared, as the Bible declared, Jesus is stronger. Jesus says in our scripture text, I drive out demons by the finger of God. Matthew says in his version of the gospel, that Jesus says, I drive out demons by the Holy Spirit of God. See, the Son of God is stronger than Beelzebul. The Apostle John writes, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ has undone all the works of Satan. That's why we go through this Lenten season every year. We trace the steps of Jesus as he conquered Satan for us. Our Jesus is that great second Adam who came down from heaven to do battle with the devil and with all of his evil, huh? He came, Jesus did, in the form of a servant, looking just like any ordinary man among men. And this Jesus perfectly obeyed all the law of God in your place and mine. Every one of the Ten Commandments from the inside out. And then he allowed himself to be beaten and crucified under the punishment of a holy God. And all of this happened to him just as though it happened to you and to me. He endured all of the forces of evil that Satan threw at him, and he never faltered once, never disobeyed once, never once followed Adam and Eve in their shame and in their rebellion. The Bible says, since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him who holds the power over death, that is the devil. And then on Easter Sunday, Jesus declared his glorious victory over sin, Satan, and hell. He declared that by coming out of the grave alive and taking his rightful place at the right hand of God. Satan has been crushed. Jesus alone is the one who defeats Satan for us. Jesus alone is the one who is stronger than Satan. And every day the message of Jesus and how he forgives us our sins and how he draws us to God, that is what we use to do battle with Satan. The gospel is how we defeat Satan. Because every day we repent of our sins and we claim Christ as our Superman, as our champion, huh? Every day we claim our Jesus as our Satan beater, huh? And we listen to the voice of our Jesus who constantly whispers into our ears, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest for your souls. This gospel of Jesus Christ, it is stronger than all the forces of Satan combined. So that means we have to go to the only place that we can find this gospel power of Jesus. The only place that we can access the power of Jesus in the gospel to defeat the devil. And that is to the Word of God and to the precious sacraments that he's given to us. Which really, the sacraments are the Word of God in visible form. Satan knows he can't defeat the Word of God. So he pulls out all stops to keep us from God's Word. That was his goal throughout the COVID pandemic, to keep God's people away from God's Word. And this is why we need to battle him by going to church, the Bible study, going regularly, going every week, unafraid of the virus. Because the gospel is the center of worship. This is why we need to be studying God's Word throughout our lifetime with our fellow Christians. Because the gospel needs to be discussed among us. That's why we need to think about the message of the Bible daily. Read the scriptures on our own. You see, the gospel needs to come to us as we come under Satan's attacks. This is why we need to pray daily. Pray fervently. Because the gospel needs to surround us in all of our requests to God, all of our praises to God, all of our thanksgivings to God. Because the more we love and use the gospel, the more we rise up and defeat Satan. When it comes to God, we don't need more religious rules, and we don't need more pious programs to honor our Lord. When it comes to God, we don't need to look within ourselves and some special resources to spell out the right formula for success. What we need is the power of the gospel. What we need is the name of Jesus, the outward message to our inner assurance that we are redeemed children of God who belong to him now and belong to him forever. The greatest power source to defeat Satan is to have that spirit-given confidence in our hearts that our God is on our side, that Satan is defeated, that eternal life is ours, come hell or high water. For the battleground for spirituality and life is not out there in society, but it's here in the human heart. And our Jesus has ours through the Holy Spirit. Yes, we love him because he first loved us. And the devil hates it when we express our love for Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, stick it in Satan's eye, huh? and tell him to take a hike. Tell him to stay in hell where he belongs, right? He can't bully you and me around, because you're going to love your Jesus and you're going to serve your Jesus, even if it means you have to die for him. Yes, it's true. God's in control of this world. God's running the nations of this earth. Everything in life happens for a purpose, and God is in charge of it. That is all true. Not because Satan is weak, but because Jesus Christ is stronger than he has and has defeated him. This is all true because the gospel reigns in our hearts and reigns in the hearts of Christians everywhere. Plus, God knows how to turn the devil's power and his actions against him. And so when Satan strikes, there's Jesus striking back 10 times harder. For God knows how to lead us to love him more and more, even as Satan rages against us. And so when people ask, how strong is Satan? Just reply, oh, very strong indeed. But Jesus Christ is stronger. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which is beyond our human understanding, that will keep our hearts and our minds focused in on Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.